Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges. September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group hosted I Survived Real Estate 2009. In this critical final quarter, the Norris Group assembled a Gold Star panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event supported the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners. The Business Press, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshops and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronsgeist, Invest Club for Women, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for the website iSurvive2009.com, JK Short Sale, Entrust California and Hugh Broma, The Nixon Library, MVT Productions, the National Flip and Fix Network, and White House Catering. Visit iSurvive2009.com for information.
Our next speaker is Joseph Magziarez. He has designations as an appraiser of MAI, SRA, and is the 2009 Vice President of the Appraisal Institute and will become President of the Appraisal Institute in 2011. He's been an active member of the Appraisal Institute for 38 years, serving in a variety of capacities at all levels of the organization. He resides in Rockford, Illinois, with his wife, Sandra, 41 years, and his bulldog, Bella. And I think you're probably the hot topic of the day. We welcome Joseph.
Well, as you'll notice, I'm the only one that wore a vest up here. It's Kevlar, okay? I really want to thank Bruce and Aaron for setting this up, the gold and platinum members. And especially you have Southern California Appraisal Institute members over here. They're one of your sponsors, one of our group. And so nice to come out here and see some friends. And it's a pleasure for me to be here tonight. We support the original intent of the Home Valuation Code of Conduct to take pressure off appraisers, because many appraisers, especially younger people coming into business, would be influenced to push for higher values, or we're told if you don't raise your value up to this point, you'll be taking off our list. Several people told me, and I said, well, I shouldn't be on your list anyhow. I have ethics, and you don't. Well, we got appraisal independence, conflicts of interest are down, and potential long-term positive effects, but we had some bad side things that went on. And so we unintended consequences, appraisal quality. Management companies are just not doing that. We've been out talking to some of them. They come and talk to us now because they're nervous. Because when Congress wants to know about what's going on with this, they're calling the National Association of Realtors, the Home Builders, and the Appraisal Institute. And I'll tell you, I was in Washington, D.C. In February or March. We had a Collateral Matters Congress out there. We had the congressional people there, and our president, Jim Ameren, spoke before Congress. And they asked our president, said, Mr. Ameren, where were you when all this was happening? And he said, I was here 3 years ago telling you about this, and you've done nothing. Congress investigated the whole meltdown. 22 major reasons. Appraisal is not anywhere in that document. I'm not going to say there weren't some inflated values, but this crisis is not about appraisals, not what put us here. What put us here was greed in the marketplace and mortgage-backed securities, unregulated because Congress said what? Get the money out, make everyone happy. So that happened. Well, the economics of owning a small appraisal firm is down. People are leaving. We're not happy with that. Local relationships and expertise. A lot of our members had long-standing relationships with lenders, and they could do business with them, and they could talk to each other when they had problems. They weren't being influenced to do bad things. And so we want to make sure that we go back and do that. Unregulated beyond state registration. Right now they register with the state, but they don't have to have a license to do anything. Illinois, Bill, if our governor signs that, we had a new governor. Of course, we get one every couple of years. We Illinois has the best retirement plan for governors. You know, when they're done, we let them make license plates. So, you keep your cash outflow down, you know. But, I mean, who's going to trust a guy like Blagojevich, you know, but got to do like Donald Trump? Something's wrong there. Well, appraisal-related fraud is starting to increase again. Fannie Mae fraud reports, 2008 originations. Fraud was too easy. The greed of market participants, lack of oversight, spotty appraisal regulation. There was a low barrier to entry. Only January 1st of 2008 did the Appraisal Foundation bring the qualifications necessary to practice up to a beginner's level. Before that, it was ludicrous that you could go take two or three courses, put up your shingle, and go out and make million-dollar decisions when you had no clue what's going on. Well, resources for enforcement were weak. We're taking care of that. The subcommittees agreed to work on that in subsidized states. And the users are discouraged from filing complaints. So a lot of times these mortgage lenders say, well, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to file a complaint. You need to file complaints. File it with your state, because every appraiser has to have a state license. File it with the Appraisal Institute if there are a member. I will guarantee you we'll take action. Inflated value opinions, misdescribed property. You wouldn't believe some of the things you read in some of these reports. If you actually looked at the property and read the report, you have two different properties there. No mention of issues. An appraiser were pressured to leave that off, will you? That's not too good for values. Leave that off. Appraisers weren't reporting listing history or concessions. So that could cause overvaluation issues. But also, not knowing those can cause undervaluation issues. If you don't talk to the buyer and seller involved in the deal or the broker that was involved in there and find out what drove that deal, what happened, you can come up with a very wrong answer. Pat was telling me they had an offer in on a property, and it took 7 months, and they couldn't get it back. Finally, Fannie Mae got it, and they listed it for $10,000 less than an offer they had on a property for 7 or 8 months. Well, that's good if you're a buyer, but what does it do as a seller? What does it do for you if an appraiser uses that sale at that $10,000 lower price not knowing that? That's not a good sale. It's not a good sale. You shouldn't use that sale. The property is worth more than that, but it couldn't be closed. Some of the other things, some forged reports, altered reports, that sort of things, not paying the appraiser, that's kind of cured now because HBCC says if it's a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, the lender has to pay the appraiser. With mortgage fraud rampant, a couple of things that we say, hire qualified and competent appraisers. Well, guess what? You don't get to pick, do you, as a broker? You get stuck with what's over there. But, you know, maybe when you go in for the loan off app, you need to talk to the loan officer and say, hey, you know, you have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that my buyer gets a good appraisal by somebody that's competent and local that understands this market. And you have a right to ask for that. They might say, well, we're using a management company. Well, you know what? That management company, if they're duly authorized, has that same obligation. If they give you someone that doesn't know that market, someone that's not competent, report them, report the bank, report the management company. Ask about education, experience, credentials of an appraiser. Well, you can't ask all that, but certainly you could tell your seller, when they come here, ask the appraiser how long they've been in business. Are they a member of a professional group or not? I just told you, ours is the largest group of 26,000. You're 7 to 20 times more likely to have an appraiser that had a complaint against them if they're not one of our members. Now, our members do have them, but at a much lower incidence, so you want to do that. Fannie and Freddie selling guys, now we talked to them, and they said, oh, yeah. And so they put in there, you should look for appraisers that belong to professional associations. Why? They have two people looking over their shoulders. And we have stronger ethics than are required by any state. Major provisions, the licensing Title 11 is FIREA, it deals with banking rules. The subcommittee is the one that has oversight of all the states. And the state board resources and accountability vary from state to state. And I know that your board out here has been active. And I know if you contact them, they will take action. And if they won't, if we all talk loud enough, we can get action to happen. We cannot sit back and allow bad appraisals to affect people's lives, to kill deals that should be going on, non-competent people using sales that are not comparable sales. What's the difference between a sale and a comparable sale? The easiest way for me to think of it, if I can't buy this property here, which other ones would I buy first? And I think that will give you an idea on a comparable. But certainly, it requires a competent person that understands if I'm in an area where there's a lot of foreclosures and someone bought this home and spent $30,000 upgrading the home and now it's considerably better than anything else in that immediate market area, some sort of upward adjustment needs to be made. You can't just grab these three sales of foreclosures. I don't know about in your area, but we do REO work for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FDIC. Sometimes we go, all the plumbing's gone, the kitchens are gone, the carpet's gone, everything's gone. The only thing left there is a shell outside. Non-competent appraisers will look at that sale and use it because they never call anybody and talk to it. They never find out what the condition. They never find out how much money did you have to spend immediately after you bought it to put the house in livable condition. These are questions that need to be asked. House Bill 1728 passed the House. It's in the Senate now. And you know, it's up to our buddies there, Dodd and Barney and Durbin. They'll sit on this the rest of the year, I'm sure. It probably doesn't fit their business model at this time. So I'm going to be critical about them because I think most of this problem we have relates back to Congress. The lack of enforcement. Recommendations, hire competent, qualified appraisers. How? Find out if they belong to a professional association. Even better if they have a professional designation, MEI for general type properties, SRA for residential properties. ASA has some residential and general members. The farm appraisers have some if you're doing that type of property. Try to find someone that belongs to another association. Chances are their education is higher. They have peer review. Someone's looked at their work product in detail. This AMC oversight and regulation, the Appraisal Qualifications Board will write those rules as soon as 1728 passes. And my friend Gary Taylor, past international president of the Institute, will write those rules and regulations so that we can ensure that the people that are hiring appraisers do it properly and look for competency that will help you. So I'm Joe Magsiar, sometimes called Papa Joe. My pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you very much. I look forward to the panel questions.
Thank you, Joseph. Our next speaker is David Kittle. David began his mortgage banking career in 1978 and is currently Executive Vice President of Vision Mortgage Capital, LLC, a division of American Home Bank in Pennsylvania. David has served in numerous leadership positions, including past chairman of MBA's Political Action Committee, MORPAC, former vice president of MBA's Residential Board of Governors, and has served on MBA's Board of Directors since 2004. David was installed as chairman in October 2008, and he and his wife, Ellen, have been married for 16 years and have four children. David, we welcome you to our podium.
Thank you very much. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that my favorite and only mother-in-law, known to my children as Meemaw, is a 21-year breast cancer survivor. So, thank you. I want to thank Joe and John because unlike Chris, Pat, Larry, and Rick, they didn't try and shape my speech for me and recommend what I do. So I had a speech. We'll get rid of that. And we'll talk about a few things that I really want to mention to you tonight. I want to speak from the heart. I want to talk to you. You're entrepreneurs. You take risk. That's been mentioned earlier tonight. I want to give you some experiences that I've had as chairman. It's been a privilege to represent 3,000 member companies and over 400,000 individuals that are members of our association, the Mortgage Bankers Association. During this time, over the last 3 years, it's a three-year gig. You do vice chairman, chairman-elect, and then chairman. It's a big commitment. It's a big burden, mostly on the family, because I'm gone a lot. This is the 97th wheels-up trip I've taken in the last 3 years. And this is my last speech as chairman. I go out October the 12th down the road in San Diego. And it has really been a lot of fun. But during this last year and a half, I've got to put my butt in the chair in front of Congress 14 times. In front of Barney, in front of Chris Dodd, in front of my good friend Dick Durbin in Illinois. And I kind of want to give you a couple of experiences and let you know what's really going on and what these people do and how you can get involved. And you want to talk about solutions, you're the solution. And I hope that's what you get out of this. My favorite testimony, November the 19th last year, before my good friend Dick Durbin, Senate Judiciary Committee. It's on C-SPAN. My 80-year-old mother is home watching. You sit and you have the lights like you have down here. It's the same place you see people raise their hand, GM, AIG, you name it. And I'm the only one on the panel that really is the one they want to attack that day. There are five other people on the panel, and they are there to support Senator Durbin's position. And that's okay, because I really enjoy it. I must be really crazy, but I really like testifying before Congress. First, Senator Whitehouse came out. I think he's from Rhode Island. Screaming, literally. I got the DVD. And he wanted to talk about the strips and tranches and where are these loans and why can't you modify them and you're crazy and you don't know what's going on. He screams for like 2 minutes and gets up and leaves. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay. And NBA does a very good job of preparing us. We go through media training and they do a very good job. We go in the night before and prepare for the testimony. We do a testimony prep that morning of the testimony. In comes my good friend, your good friend, Chuck Schumer. Calls me out by name 4 times. I am responsible for the entire collapse of the world economy. Then he left. I get no. So I'm told later, well, you know, that's, they call that a hit and run. Boy, it really was. You know, I call it no guts and run. Then I got to talk to my good friend, Senator Durbin. And this was about bankruptcy cramdown. Now, what does that mean to you? It means interest rates go up 2% overnight if people are allowed to include their single-family homes in bankruptcy. Sounds like a great idea. Why can't they? You can include your credit cards, your car, everything else. Last time they changed the bankruptcy laws was 1978, the year I got in the business. When I got in the business that year, I could make you an investment loan or a second home with the same terms as a single-family owner occupied. 95%, same rates, everything. After it got included in the bankruptcy law, 25% down, buck and a half in fee, 3/8 higher in rate, equate all that together, it's 2%. We have a 31-year precedent that this will happen because the investors need the security to know that an indiscriminate judge can't come in and say, I know you owe $200,000, now you owe $150,000, I know it's at 6%, now it's at 4%. What if somebody did that to your investment? Would you invest in it again? No. So here we are. It's November the 19th, as I said. The metaphor of the day is what's coming up just the next week and the next 6 weeks. Christmas and Thanksgiving. You're really Scrooge, aren't you, Mr. Kittle? You want to kick people out of their homes at Christmas time. You don't care about the borrower. This was the 11th testimony, I think, at the time. And I lost it. Can't say it any better way than that, because you're taught and you're trained. You don't talk back to a United States senator. And I always said, why? I'm a United States citizen. I was invited there. So I fired back. And we all know in business, sometimes we have good years, sometimes we have bad years. So I told the truth. It's on DVD if you'd like to have it. And it's free. I'm not selling it. I said, excuse me, Senator. I haven't drawn a paycheck in 14 months. I've laid off 90% of my staff because I can't afford the warehouse lines anymore. Don't tell me I don't know what these people are feeling. I was smart enough to put money away. I've protected my credit scores. I'm making my payments on time. Don't tell me I don't know what's going on. He sat back in his chair. He said, I'm sorry for your circumstances. You must not be one of those big bank presidents in New York. No, sir, Senator, I'm not. 95% of my members are individual business owners who take risk every day. So we went back with my lobbyist after that. They didn't want to touch me. They didn't want to talk to me. That's when they said, God, we have to work with these people. Why? Why do we have to work with them? Why can't we just tell the truth? So I had a lot of fun, and my reputation at that point, because I'd only been chairman for 3 or 4 weeks, was, we really don't want to let Kittle testify. But I get to choose who testifies as chairman in our association. And so I enjoy it, and I've done it a few more times. These people could care less about our industry. They care about getting elected. It's a 2-minute soundbite. That's what it is. So I called, it's on C-SPAN, I called my mom. What'd you think? She's about 5'0" 80 pounds soaking wet. She said, I wanted to beat the snot out of him. And that's a quote. And if you just send this tape to my good friend, Senator Durbin, because it's the truth. This is what we face every day. Minnesota, there's an election. Less than half the people in this room sent Al Franken to Congress. There was a congressional election for the seat where the lady was promoted up to Hillary Clinton's seat, so they had a runoff election. 2 tables sent that person to Congress. I would argue, when you say your vote doesn't count, that it does. We have something at MBA called the Mortgage Action Alliance, and it's free, and you don't even have to be a member of MBA. You can go to MBA.org. I want your name, your email address, your kid's name, your mom, your aunts and uncles, and we write the letter for you on stuff that's important to us, to you. Goes to both your members, to both your senators, your member of Congress. If you don't like the letter, edit it. If you don't like it, don't send it. But most of you have a computer, you hit click and send, it goes. I asked my senator, I'm from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, Senator, do you pay attention to 100 phone calls? Not really. Can't. Do you pay attention to 15,000 emails? Yes. That's what it is today. You see, in Washington, it's not about the money. It's about the money at the end of the day. You matter what you do. What's going to happen? Tell you one thing. We were talking about foreclosures. We're worried about loan mods. My industry is getting beat up right now, and they say, why can't you just sit down with these people and modify their loan? We can't sit down and modify their loan for 2 reasons. Number one, not at all. Broad brush I'm going to paint here. They won't call us back. When they do reach out to us, they're 90 or 120 days down the road. When we modify a loan, we have to retake the loan application. We have to verify assets. We have to see if they have a job, as Pat mentioned earlier, or maybe it was Rick. If they don't have a job, how do I modify their loan? Then we have to run a title. Longer they go out, more tax liens they have against their property. Those have to be satisfied before we do the loan mod. So that's a problem. It takes time. Last thing I'll say, and I'm going to leave, walk off, is what's coming next year is a bigger wave, my prediction, not MBA's, of foreclosures than what we have right now, FHA. All the brokers ran and got FHA approved. All the loans they were taking to subprime have been underwritten by FHA. That's scary. The next government bailout that you're seeing is coming will be FHA. And we've got to do something about it ourselves. We have to stand up and be more prudent. I'm calling that strike in on me, on us. The bar is too low to get in my industry. We need net worth requirements higher. We need education. We need licensing. And we need to, when somebody does something wrong, call them out and get them the hell out of our business. Thank you for having me tonight, and God bless you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009, 1M1 Properties, Appraisal Institute of Southern California, Awesome Limousines, Community Reinvest Group, Del May Properties, Elite Auctions, FarBelowMarket.com, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Meeting and Event Center, Mike Cantu, the Mortgage Equity Group, National Association of Real Estate Investors, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Northern California Real Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, Realty Track, Saddleback Valley Communities, San Jose Real Estate Investor Association, Stars Photography, Tony Alvarez, and the Women's Council of Realtors Inland Valley Chapter.